Welcome to the Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
Good morning. It's really, I count it always a great privilege, and I count it a great honor to share the word of the Lord. But it's also, you know, when I... because I'm going to share something that is just so powerful, something that that the Lord spoke to me at the beginning of the year. Because I'm very careful not just to say anything. You know, I remember a man of God by the name of Michael Eaton, and he said something like this about prophetic preaching. Hey, how's that, eh? He said prophetic preaching is speaking for God with God-given words. And you know, Larry, that's what I want to find. I find that this morning, that's what I want to speak. I want to speak words that have been given to me by God. And we're going to look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to look at his example. And of course, as we look at Jesus, who is our pattern, who is our example, who is our inspiration, I trust that something of what we see in his life, the counterpart will be also expressed in our lives in the name of Jesus. I want to talk on a subject on objective for living, doing the will of God. Objective for living, doing the will of God. We will find, friends, that when Jesus Christ came to this earth, that was very central to him. He didn't just come and hit and miss. There was something of a clear mandate, the will of God. He came to do the will of God here on earth. Jesus said it time and time again, even before he went to the cross, when there was the struggle of his will and the will of the Father, he could say, not my will be done, but the will of the Father be done. And I'm trusting that even today, for every one of us, including many, that you and I will come to this conclusion. You and I will come to this decision. You and I will come to a place where we will renounce our wills for our lives. It is critical in this particular subject that I share with you, that it is critical that you and I renounce our will and we surrender to the will of God for our lives. I pray, child of God, that you and I, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will find God's will for our lives. Remember these words, finding his will, following through with his will, and finishing it. It's not just about finding his will. And God has various ways in which he helps you and I to find out his will for our lives. One of the primary ways, because I'm going to touch on this, is through his word. The word, the Bible, reveals his will for our lives. And child of God, it's so powerful, the word of God. Because many of us are asking those kind of questions. What is God's will for my life? And so we as a church, even as the Crossing Church, have encouraged people to go through a daily Bible reading plan. It's just one of God's ways. It's a primary way. And of course, the presence of the Holy Spirit working together with the Word, because you can't separate the two. Because the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture. The Bible says all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and training in righteousness so that the man and the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped, lacking nothing. You can't separate the two, because the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture from Genesis right through to the end. But this aspect of finding his will, once you and I find the will of God, even we'll see in the Scriptures, friends, even knowing the will of God, we can know the will of God, but more than just that, we must finish it. We must do the will of God. We find the will of God, you follow through with it. And child of God, that takes perseverance. That takes endurance. You and I will see, friends, you and I, the Christian life is a marathon. It's not a short sprint. It's a long, long journey. Friends, that's why we need perseverance. We need endurance in this race. But go through to the end. Go through to the end, just like Jesus could say on that cross, before he gave his breath, he could say these beautiful words, help me, yeah? It is finished. And at that point, child of God, when we say it is finished, it was his atoning work for us. Jesus had to come and deal with the sin issue. And we're going to also see, I'm just giving you this little introduction because I'm going to get so carried away. Because the will of the Father for Jesus was culminated, friends, in the offering of his body for you and for me on our behalf. A body, friends. God, you and I are going to see a body prepared for me. to die, to shed his blood for us, and all those kinds of things. And that's amazing. But, you know, find it, follow through with it, and finish it. You know, I'm also thinking of the words of Paul. You know, when he comes to the end of his life, he says, I've run the race. I've kept the faith. I've fought the good fight. I finished the task. Finished, child of God. There are so many of us, we have such a fantastic start, but we don't have a fantastic finish. Child of God, it's critical that you and I finish strong. We've got to teach our kids even, you know, even to start something off and you've got to finish it. You know, I had the privilege this last week to minister in Potchefstroom, mostly with students. And you've got to encourage them, child of God. They've got to go through, I don't know how many years. These are doctors. These are professors. They're training for all kinds of amazing careers, you know. And it's not just about starting. You've got to go through and finish it. I want us to open our Bibles to the first reading that I'd like to have a look at is in, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. While you're looking up for Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 and 2, I just want to ask these questions. Do you have an objective for life? Do you have an objective for life? The second question, are you clear about it? Are you clear about it? Do you know? Thirdly, do you know what it is? Someone said, friends, you know, there are so many people that are just drifting here and there and everywhere. We have so many people that are just aimless. Someone said this, there is nothing more tragic in a human life than aimlessness. If you aim at nothing, you may be sure that you will hit it. Child of God, God doesn't want you and I to be aimless. Every one of you, when I look at you, when I just look at the different cultures, the different faces, the different personalities, the different gifts, intellects, the talents and abilities, the way God himself has wired each and every one of you, child of God, God has a specific plan and a purpose for you. Let's read together verses 1 and verse 2 from Hebrews chapter 12. And it says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Even as I touch on some aspects of hindrances, they are not sins. They are not sins, but they will hinder you and I. And may God give us the wisdom and the courage to say no to those things. In the name of Jesus Christ, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance or endurance the race marked out for us. That is also something I'm gonna repeat. The race that is marked out for us. Child of God, you don't mark out the race. It has been marked out for you by God Almighty. But you and I need to find that out. And it comes through studying, it comes through praying, it comes through waiting upon Jesus, and it comes through a process of years. I was saying to the students, you know, I have the incredible privilege, where are we now? We're February, it's moving so fast, isn't it? In April, in a month and a half's time, I have this incredible privilege of celebrating 42 years as a Christian. 42 years. 37 years in full-time ministry, 26 years of leading a church. Dawn and I, we celebrate our 35th wedding anniversary this year. I'm the husband of, help me, yeah? One wife. Do you understand what you know what I mean? So you start off with your one wife husband, and you finish with her, one husband, one wife. Marriage is for life. There's no, you know, just as you're going through, you want to trade in. There's no such thing as trade in, eh? Like you do with your cars. There's none of that kind of stuff. For better, for worse, for richer, poorer, I've said that before, you've got to press through. You know what I mean? Are you with me? Do you understand that language, you know? So where am I going, John? I was going somewhere. I was going to carry. The race that is marked out for us, it's marked out for you. You don't write it. The script, friends, God himself has a specific will for your life and for my life. And you're going to see it in the life of Jesus as well. And then it says, how you and I do this, friends, is we fix our eyes upon Jesus. So Jesus is our focus. We've got to fix our eyes upon Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. The author, he is the starter, the beginner, and he's also the finisher. It's not just about the beginner, friends. It's about the finishing. And he who began a good work in you, friends, when it comes to salvation, he's going to bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing, friends. Don't forget that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. And look at the language. It says, for the joy set before him. He knew, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and now sat at the right hand of God the Father, at the right hand of the throne of God. I love that picture. So as I just touch on some truths here, the first one is the Christian life is a race that is marked out for us. The Christian life is a race, child of God. And then we said something about, it's also, it says, it's a race that is marked out for us in advance. I was reminded of this beautiful scripture in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, where it says, for we are God's workmanship. Another translation says, we are his handiwork. Another translation says, we are his masterpiece created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for you and I to do. Wow. Prepared in advance. We are his handiwork. We are his masterpiece. We are the works of his hands. And so we've got to throw off certain things. When I touch on these aspects of hindrances, some of our hindrances, I just want to put this down, is the use of our time. The use of our time. You know, by the grace of God, God has helped me over these many, many years. I was talking about all these, that's what I was talking to you about, 42 years. Thank God. I think back, thank God, in 1975 in an army camp when we as white people had to go to the army. I mean, it was compulsory. I didn't want to go, but if you didn't go, you go to prison. But God worked in that army camp. I was radically born again and saved there. Thank God in his great wisdom, he didn't give me the full download right there. Because I'm looking back 42 years. I did not know when I was saved I was going to get married to Dawn. I did not know when I got saved, Johan, that I was going to be in full-time ministry. I did not know that 2 years later I was going to come onto a deacon team. I did not know a few years later coming onto an eldership team in 1980. I did 1980, the youngest of 13 elders looking after young people. God just trained me with young people. I did not know one day I was going to lead a church. 2 years later, that's where I met Dawn at the young people's group, you know. Met her, thank God for her, she's wonderful, you know. And then I met her, we got married, and soon after that, friends, we transitioned a church, and then it's just, thank God he didn't give us the full download. He gives you little snippets through prophetic words and prophecies and through scriptures that he writes. That's why when you read the scriptures, when you go through the Bible, have a notebook and a pen next to you. Because there are certain things that God reveals to you, child of God. And can I say this, child of God, it's not going to happen automatically. I have found in my Christian walk in life, there's a beautiful scripture in 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, or 14 and 15, around there. It says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything in accordance with, listen to this, his will, he hears us. God doesn't listen to all of our prayers. He listens to prayers that are in accordance with his will. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have received the request that we have made of him. Let me just say something. Child of God, there is an immediate assurance, not necessarily an immediate manifestation. Did you get the language? That God speaks to us, and the fulfillment of those dreams and those words and those scriptures and those promises are somewhere in the future. Just be faithful. You've got to go through the grades. Do you understand the grades like the children go through grades? They go through 12 grades. Do you understand that language? Do you understand that if you fail a grade, you know what happens is, no problem, child of God, you repeat the grade. Do you understand that? Or you just go around the mountain. You know, no problem. God is very, very patient. Ultimately, you get there. It just takes a little bit much longer. It just takes that much longer, whatever. You know, but you ultimately. So the use of our time is very important. So I'm very thorough when it comes to my calendars. I've got a 2017 calendar, child of God, that is totally full. I've got 154 days in other churches, in nations around the world. It's a privilege. And this church sends me out there. It's incredible. You know, God said to me when I was in Burundi, when I was 37 years in the Lord, when I was 35 years ago, when I was 37 years as a Christian, the Lord said to me, Manny, I've prepared you for 37 years for something that you were born to do. Oh, we don't like this 37 years of preparation, Jill, Joy, whatever your names are. We don't like it. We want the fast foods. We want the drive-throughs. We don't want to wait for nothing, boy. We want it now, boy. We want it our way. We don't want His will to be done in our lives. Another hindrance can be some forms of entertainment. Some forms of entertainment. You know, when I think of this, I was thinking about the time, you know, I used to swim. I still swim, but I swam competitively and I played water polo just after I got born again. You know water polo? It's a lovely sport. But what actually happened in my life, Larry, this happened. There was a time I was in the swimming pool. You play water polo and I'm the fast guy, so I'm on the side. But there was an old guy in the pool. And he had been playing water polo for a long, long time, but he couldn't catch me. So what he did is he caught my foot with his hands and he pinned it under the water, but he pinned it between his legs. So his hands on the outside because you've got the ref or the umpire on the pool edge. So everything seems fine. He's got his two hands like this, but he's pinned me. He's pinned me. I was born again, but I lost it. I lost it. I jumped up on this guy in the pool. I held him underneath. The refs jumped on me. My friends jumped on me. I was going to drown this guy. I was born again just a few days. Not a few days, a few weeks. That was the end. That was the last time I played water polo. That was it. I said, that was it. And then, of course, God led me to lead a youth group. Another hindrance could be certain relationships. Certain relationships. Child of God, you and I got to be very careful who we mix with. And when we touch on aspects of sin, it could be greed, pride, arrogance, gossip, stealing, lust, dishonesty, and so it goes on and on. Secondly, friends, we fix our eyes upon Jesus. We fix our eyes upon Jesus. Jesus is our inspiration. Jesus was so motivated to do the will of the Father. And thirdly, Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. So I touched on these things. Now I want us to go to a beautiful passage. Just turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 5 through to verse 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through to verse 10. And it says this. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, look at the language. When Christ came into the world, He said, this is Jesus, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. But notice the word, He said, but a body you have prepared for me. Can I ask the question, who prepared the body? It says, but a body you prepared for me. The Father, Jesus talking about a body prepared for me. Jesus was going to go to the cross because it was through His body you and I are going to have access. Through His body you and I are going to have forgiveness of sins. Through His body you and I are going to be made right with God. And it goes on to say, with burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then Jesus said these beautiful words. This is what hit me at the beginning of the year. Then I said, this is Jesus said this, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will. That statement jumped out of the Bible. And I also just said to the Lord, I said, here I am. I'm going into 2017, Lord. These churches, I don't know where you're taking me. I've even got a calendar for 2018. Don't be afraid, child of God. Man plans his way, but yet the Lord directs his steps. It helps me to stay sane, child of God. And I do it with wisdom. But in any case, sitting with Jesus and the precious Holy Spirit. And He says this. He says, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. Jesus didn't write it. I said a race that is marked out for us. We don't mark out the race. Jesus didn't write out His script, friends. Jesus, it was written. Jesus found that out through His studying and waiting upon the Lord. And He says, I have come to do your will. Verse 8, he says, first he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said again in verse 9, here I am, I've come to do your will. He sets aside the first, which is the first covenant, the old covenant, to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy. Look at this. We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all. I want to say this also, because just in case I forget, there's a verse in John chapter 7. Where is it, Lord Jesus? John chapter 7, verse 17. John chapter 7, verse 17. This is, you gotta get this. It says this from the NIV translation. If anyone, the words of Jesus, if anyone chooses to do God's will, you and I have to choose to do God's will. Another translation says, will to do his will. I cannot do that for you, and you cannot do that for me. Not even all the praying, not even if me laying hands. It's an act of your will, it's an act of my will. You and I have to choose to do his will. And it says this, if anyone chooses to do his will, he will find out. Let me just pause it before I go on. Many people are asked the question, they say, Manny, I want to find God's will for my life. I want to have understanding of God's will for my life. I want God to show it to me. I want God to reveal it to me. And then I will come to a conclusion, once he shows me his will for my life, then I will make a decision whether I'm going to follow his will or not follow his will. This statement is very, very important. Child of God, you and I mustn't go that way. It's not that way first. You and I have to come to the place where we say to Jesus, we say to the Father and to the Holy Spirit, not my will, your will be done. And at that point, revelation, insight, and understanding of the will of God comes, not the other way around. Because you and I want to find out, and then we come to a conclusion. You say, Lord, show me your will, reveal your will to me, and then I will think about it, whether I'm going to do it or not. You will not find his will for your life. You will not find his will for your life unless you and I come to that place where we renounce our will and we say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And at that point, then you and I are going to know something of God's will for our lives. And so I want to just touch on some aspects of the outworking of God's will, the results of the will of God for our lives, the outworking of God's will for our lives. As we ourselves come to that place where we renounce our wills and we say, Lord, not my will be done, your will be done, what can we expect? Number one, the first one, friends, is something that's taken out of a passage in the Gospel of John. If you've got your Bible there, the Gospel of John chapter 4. And in this particular story, what actually is happening is Jesus is very tired. Jesus is needing rest. He's hungry. He is, the disciples, they've run out of food. The disciples have gone into the local town to go and buy some food. Jesus sits at this well, meets up with a Samaritan woman. In those days, friends, the Jews don't meet up with a Samaritan. But something is happening. You just watch what's happening here. Jesus meets up with this Samaritan woman. And then something about Jesus, friends, Jesus knows this woman. You know, he knows about how many husbands she's got and all these different things. And Jesus starts to talk to her about the promise of living water. And then in verse 31, it says this, meanwhile, his disciples urged him, John chapter 4, verse 31. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, look at this, you've got to get this. I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him some food? Then Jesus says these beautiful words in verse 34. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work or to finish his will. We need food, child of God, for our physical beings, to keep us going, to nourish us, friends, to give us strength. Doing the will of God gives us a supernatural restoration of our physical body. That's point number one, friends. Point number one, a physical supernatural restoration. When you do the will of God, it's incredible. I have found that in my journeys, there are times I get so tired. And it's not just ministering in this kind of context. We're with people in the homes, we this and that and all the rest of it. And I tell you something, child of God, I cannot explain it. I know I'm in the center of God's will. And there's a supernatural strength that moves over you. There's a supernatural strength that restores your body. The Holy Spirit quickens this living body. You are tired. You are weak. You're needing physical food. But child of God, just doing the will of God is supernatural restoration for your physical body. It's phenomenal. So Jesus says those beautiful words, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. You know, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So we must always understand that the central motivation in Jesus' life on earth was to do the will of the Father. Number two, friends, I want to move to John chapter 4, verse 35 to 36. And it says this, Jesus saying, do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? Because something is happening there. There's a Samaritan woman. Jesus is ministering to her. You know, hey, can I also say this just in case I forget? The safest place to be, child of God, help me, is in the will of God. The safest place to be is in the will of God. So Jesus is ministering to this woman. Jesus knows that that woman is going to go into that village, a Samaritan village. This woman is going to testify to her friends about what's going on, but just watch the scene here. So do you not say, Jesus says to his disciple, 4 months more and then comes the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes. Something about when you and I, friends, are doing the will of God, when you and I have renounced our will and we say, I want your will. Here I am, like Jesus. I've come to do your will. There comes, friends, a proper view and a vision of the situation. Your eyes, my eyes, friends, like they could look at the crops there and think, well, there's still 4 months. Jesus was looking beyond just the natural. He was seeing into the spiritual realm. Child of God, you begin to see into the spiritual realm. Jesus saw a harvest of people believing in him, responding to him, child of God. I've just come out of also last week, can you believe it? Last week, I've been all over the place. But I've just over a week ago, I was in Rwanda with about 30, over 30 key leaders from Burundi, Rwanda, and the Northeast Congo from 12 cities. Child of God, Hilton. I know, I believe Hilton shared here last week. I think Hilton's changed for life. My friend Bruce McAlpine, you know that tall guy that prayed for Hilton. You know, there was an ordination. There was an appointing onto eldership. You know that guy, Bruce. Now, Bruce works into Zimbabwe. Bruce runs a church. Bruce is in demands all over the place. He even works into South America. He's invited me to go there. I said to him, Bruce, I can only give you 2 weeks into South America. I can't give you more. You know, he goes in there quite regularly. So he said to me, Manny, you've invited me to come into this context, Kibuye, with these key leaders. Manny, I don't think I'm going to come again. I said, Holy Spirit, that's what Bruce is saying to me, but you talk to him. What happens is Hilton, if you know Hilton, Hilton makes these lanyards. You know what a lanyard is? There's a little string around you with a name. It's like a name tag. You understand? So I've given Hilton all the names and the countries and the cities where these people have come from. So when Bruce gets there, his lanyard reads like this, Bruce, and underneath it's got there, Bujumbura, Burundi. So I knew, Hilton, you didn't do the lanyards. You didn't even check the lanyards. I knew it was one of your workers. So Bruce sits with me one day, and he's ministering. He is experiencing something phenomenal. It's just absolutely incredible. He sits with me. We're having a time where we're just having some, like a chit-chat together. And he says, Manny, this tag's bothering me. This tag's bothering me. I feel the Holy Spirit wants me to come back to this region. He says, I feel the Lord's wanting me to go into Burundi. Yes. I didn't put pressure on. You just talk to Jesus and let Jesus put the pressure on by the Holy Spirit. Husbands and wives, that's the way to do it. You know? And on top of it, Bruce saw something there. He says, I'm going to invite some of the Colombian leaders. You know that in Colombia, you've got to believe, you know Colombia, when you talk Colombia, what is Colombia? Drugs. Drug lords. Mafia. I'm telling you, child of God, I'm going to Colombia for the first time. Bruce has invited me in March, end of March, April. I'm going to Colombia for the first time. But child of God, there are drug lords, mafias that have come to know Jesus and are leading churches, boy. You've got to believe me. So Bruce says, I'm going to bring some of those guys and I'm going to bring them to Kibuye. That's Rwanda, that key time in February. And he says, some of the leaders that we work with in Zimbabwe, he says, I'm going to bring them. I said, yes. I don't know. Just God is just doing such an amazing thing. So secondly, friends, there's a proper view and a vision of the situation. You see things from God's perspective rather than from what your perspective is. Child of God, we're living in the most exciting times of history. I know you guys love your TVs, you listen to the news, you listen to this and that, or no problem. But child of God, you've got to listen to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying in these days, boy. And God is not on edge, biting his nails, wondering what's going to happen to South Africa. Rwanda's got elections this year, wondering what's going to happen to Rwanda. We're also going to Burundi this year, friends, and there's still situation. We go, child of God. We go wherever God opens the doors. And if God closes the door, like I told you, three cases last year, and I don't want to share them with you now. Friends, if he closes doors, he knows how to close the door. And when he closes the door, don't put your foot against it and open the door. Do you understand that language? He shut the door. But when he opens it, you just go through. You sense an incredible sense of peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Yo, Lord, where am I going, Lord? And I'm getting so carried away here. Jesus, you've got to help me. Thirdly, in John chapter 5, verse 30. John chapter 5, verse 30. It says this, the words of Jesus, he says this in the ESV. He says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, ooh, I love this. As I hear, I judge. And you're going to get this word, and my judgment is just. Let me just say something, and then Jesus said, because I seek not my will, but the will of him who sent me. I don't know about you, child of God. But, you know, many of us, friends, and let me be honest about myself. Many, many times, friends, I have been fooled by people. I'm being honest. There have been times when I've misunderstood situations. There are times when I've made wrong decisions. And there's regret, and there's regret, and there's regret. This is one of the things I'm asking the Lord, please, Lord, I want you to help me. The third one, as a result, we're talking about the outworking of God's will for our lives, is just judgment or clear and impartial discernment. Child of God, I want you and I to be on the cutting edge. I want there to be a sense of wisdom. Don't get fooled, child of God. Hear God and let him help us. As you and I are seeking to do God's will, you and I, as the scriptures clearly say, yeah, my judgment is just, child of God. This is constantly, continuously. There are sometimes, friends, I get calls and messages, and they're good things, friends. They're not sins, child of God. But I've got to say to the person, I can't do it. I can't come this year. That's why I've got a 2018 calendar. That's why I've got a list of churches for 2018. So I've got a nice long time to pray to Jesus. And I say, Jesus, which churches do you want me to go to? In fact, it's not just me. We're going to go together. Because if you don't come with me, there's no ways I'm going to any of those churches. I'm thinking of the language of what is called Moses in Exodus chapter 33. You know that where Moses says, Lord, unless your presence, you know, Curtis, weren't you talking about presence? Unless your presence goes with me. Nick, unless your presence goes with me, don't let me move one step from this place. Is it not your presence that goes with us that makes us so distinct from all the other people on the face of the earth? May God help you and I, friends. Because Jesus was never deceived. Jesus was never tricked, friends. You know, Jesus, he just knew what to do and how to do it, friends. Because, friends, he was seeking the will of the Father. Number four, friends, the fourth one is this one here. I want us to see it in John chapter 6, verse 35 to 40. John chapter 6, verse 35 to 40. My fourth point is a channel of life to a dying world. God is looking for channels of life to a dying world. Friends, when you and I surrender to the will of the Lord, he's going to use you and me as a channel, not just Manny. in every sector of society, child of God. Be a channel. Be an instrument. What God has done and what God is doing, even through you, is incredible. A child of God, you and I got to surrender to his will. John chapter 6, 35 to 40. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He comes to me, he will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never thirst. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I've come down from heaven. Look at the words of Jesus in verse 38 of John chapter 6. For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me, child of God. This has been repeated over and over again. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose not one of all those that he has given to me. I'll tell you something that's incredible. Isn't it? The Father has given you and me to Jesus. Unless the Father draws them, none will come to know Jesus. Let me read on you. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose not one of all those that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. Verse 40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son, S-O-N, who's the Son, please help me here? Jesus. Everyone who looks to the Son. Where does Jesus live by the Holy Spirit right now? I know he lives he's at the right hand side of the Father, but by the Holy Spirit, where is Jesus? You see, child of God, I've taught before, we need a Jesus who's close to the Father. A Jesus close to the Father is our mediator, is our great high priest, is our advocate. He's there to intercede for us. He's there so that you and I can be there. But we need a Jesus who's close to us. So you're on earth, child of God. Friends, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells and lives inside of us. Your body and my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter, you've got to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 says, Christ is a life-giving spirit. So Nomsa and Angie, the Holy Spirit lives inside. Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus lives inside. You know? And I want to tell you something, like Reinhard Bonnke said many times, when he was in a shop. Reinhard Bonnke, the great evangelist? God used him. I mean, he's in his late 70s, still doing a great work. But I'll never forget the story. He was buying some musical equipment for the Tent Crusades. And as he was there, the salesperson just had a cigarette and dropped his cigarette on the floor in the showroom. She said, what's wrong? The salesman says, I see Jesus in your eyes. And then Rana paused it, but he says, well, he lives on the inside. He's got to look outside the window sometime. You know, child of God, it's recognizable. It's recognizable. It's recognizable. You know, when I think of, Peter and John, when they were before those religious leaders, and those religious leaders, they don't know Jesus. But they said, we can see that these people are ordinary people. They unschooled. There's a courage, there's a boldness, but we can see that they have been with Jesus. It's recognizable, child of God. In our speech, so watch your speech, eh? Watch that tongue. Including many, hey, that small little member. Watch the tongue. Make sure that the tongue is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Watch your eyes. Watch your mind. Watch your actions, your deeds, friends. You know, your generosity, your love for the poor. You know, we're not doing this for show, child of God. You know, we're not doing this for the audience of the Crossing Church or the cross or the audience of other people. No, you're doing it for the audience of one. His name is called Jesus. He sees everything, boy. He sees your prayers, Rita. He knows everything, child of God. He knows everything. God wants you and I to be a channel. For I've come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. This is Jesus' central motivation. And then lastly, the fifth one. This is the outworking. These are the results of when you and I have come to the place we say, not my will, but your will be done. And this last one in John chapter 17, verse 4. John chapter 17, verse 4. It's so beautiful. This is before Jesus goes to the cross. And he says these words. He says, Father, I brought you glory on earth by finishing, completing the work that you gave me to do. So the Bible says that Jesus, here am I, I've come to do your will. Quentin, he offered his body. You know, child of God, you and I also need to offer our bodies. But you and I offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, in view of God's mercy, I ask you to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is your spiritual act of worship. No longer be conformed to the pattern of this world, but being renewed in our minds. And then it goes on to say, then, only then will you and I prove what is God's will for us, what is his good, pleasing, and perfect will.